That's the end of the first half. As the teams head to the locker room, the Spartans lead the Bulldogs by a score.
You guys stink.
Jeez, Coach, we're only down a couple of points.
No, I mean you guys really smell. You need to hit the showers. And here, I got every one of you new bars of soap from the Sterling Soap Company. Each bar is artisan crafted using natural ingredients and essential oils. They also have shave soaps, colognes, beard balm, and a whole lot more. Now get in there.
But Coach, we have another half to play.
I don't care. I can't stand to be around you.
A few minutes later.
All right, bring it in tight. You guys are still playing terrible, but you're smelling great out there. Now listen, you're going to need to stock up for the rest of the season. We got a lot of tough games left. So go to sterlingsoap.com after the game. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com. You got that?
Yes, Coach.
Great. sterlingsoap.com on three. One, two, three.
sterlingsoap.com.
And we'd like to welcome everybody back to the Football's Family Podcast. And in this show, we typically do football, but I also love when people talk about different sports and different hobbies. And the person I have today is going to do a little bit of that. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah. My name is Jordan Tresky. I'm happy to be here, first of all. My first book came out a couple months ago. It's called Building the Milwaukee Bucks, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Oscar Robertson, and the Rapid Rise of an NBA Franchise, 1968 to 1975, published by McFarlane, which I'm forever grateful for them to do that. But yeah, so I've been writer and podcaster about the Bucks for over a decade now, and I host a Packers podcast called Talk of the Tundra on our called GSPN, but it's like our Eurostep podcast network, which covers all three Wisconsin sports teams between the Bucks, Packers, and the Brewers. So we get two Milwaukee teams. We've got Green Bay, which really is Wisconsin's team in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So it makes for kind of an interesting look at the entire state, and obviously the big cities like Milwaukee, and obviously, you know, the smallest city in pretty much North American sports with the Packers. So it's very interesting kind of dichotomy that we have here.
I like how a city like Green Bay can be the epicenter of football for months at a time. And you think, well, how could that have done that? Well, it's history. It's 1920s. It's stuck around. And it's amazing how many times the NFL has contracted and grown, and Green Bay is still there, even though they did go back. And I think they lost the Packers for a little bit, didn't they, to get them back? Is that correct?
No, they've been continuously in Green Bay. The one kind of probably what you're thinking of is like they would have games in Milwaukee from the 30s. They even played like I think it's the 1939 NFL championship. They played in what is like our state fair parks, like the Wisconsin State Fair Park in Milwaukee. And that ended around, I believe the last year was 1994. So
no, what I was talking about, because of some type of violation of league rules, the Packers were disbanded for a little bit to only to come back later on.
Oh yeah. There was probably something that was during the days of like, they would sign like college players when, you know, like kind of primitive NFL being of trying to kind of skirt around the rules and get as many talented players as they did. But yeah, I believe Curly Lambeau kind of did something like that. That
it wouldn't surprise me about that, but they are not the oldest. I believe the Cardinals are the oldest continuous football team in the NFL right now, but the Packers have to be in the top two or three.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right about the Cardinals, because they've kind of been nomadic in a lot of ways. I think they were like between St. Louis before, because I remember
they went to Chicago, to St. Louis, to Arizona, but it's been a constant move for them.
Yeah, and that's it's kind of a weird how they've been able to kind of outlast everybody else is just a very odd situation.
Well, what was surprising? Well, anyway, this is not about Chicago Cardinals, but I grew up in the 80s with the main basketball team that people would focus on, and this my favorite teams were the Lakers and the Celtics. when you see Jordan versus Bird, which is he was not a Laker or a Celtic, but you see how powerful Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was for the Lakers and James Worthy, and then you had Magic Johnson, Byron Scott, Kurt Rambis, and then with the Celtics too had some amazing players. So I was not familiar with a lot more teams out there because in Tennessee we didn't have a lot of games that were broadcast out of the smaller markets. So, but I knew the Bucks, and with baseball, I was a Oakland A's fan, and I liked the Braves, but I knew the Brewers, and to me, the Brewers has one of the most underrated hats of all time. It's the glove hat. I love it. Then if you try to change that hat, I think they might have even brought that back for a while. It's an amazing hat.
Yeah, they brought it back, like their most recent rebrand brought that as like their primary logo. And it's always been like it was a big thing when they brought it back in like the mid 2000s when they kind of needed a pop. I mean, this is the golden era of the Brewers where they've been the most successful. So to marry that with like the most iconic image of the franchise is it's finally worked out for them in that way. But yeah, they tried in the 90s when I was growing up of like kind of fitting with the 90s kind of look of like dark navy blue with some like cactus green, and like it was like it just didn't work. And
No,
then
I see. I had my mind's gone blank, completely blank. I can see his face, but when I think there's only about two or three Brewers that I can remember. Well, Paul Molitor was one that I can remember, one of the best underrated hitters of all time. Him and Tony Gwynn were neck and neck in a lot of ways. Oh my goodness, I cannot think of his name. Mind went blank. I was trying to think Mike Schmidt, but he played for the Phillies. But that hat that they had, where it was like it was three sizes too tall on them, and you're like old school 80s hats. That to me is how. And I'd say go back to your I'm gonna find his name. Going back to what you were talking about, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was not an original Laker, was he?
No, he was not. He was drafted by the Bucks. He was signed by the Bucks. A lot of pomp and circumstance really went into that, obviously. But yeah, he was very much the reason why the Bucks came into the league when they did in 1968. And then I wouldn't say strategic, it's not outright tanking, but they knew that they were going to be bad. And then obviously gave them the shot at, going for a coin flip for him and having to ward off the ABA at the time to get him to Milwaukee. So there was a lot of steps that we don't talk about those things because it's the NBA is just one league. But at one point in time when the Bucks were coming into the fold, you had two rival leagues going after the same players, and a lot of money was spent to get people their way. So it was made for kind of a interesting introduction, to say the least.
Robin Yount. I know you probably can't see that.
Yes.
That was who I was
Yep.
thinking of. And that hat is gold. I mean,
Oh
it's just
yeah.
gold. It's the trucker hat look with the Milwaukee
Mm-hmm.
glove. But I'm telling you, this is some of the stuff and I'm trying to think of all the people who played for the Bucks growing up. It was You had some good. See, I'm having a lot of problems remembering all these great players. Can you kind of go into the little history of that while I'm
Oh
looking up some players?
yeah.
Because right now you have the golden age of players, but I'm telling you, growing up, it was a little bit different. The Bucks were not the same.
80s teams would have been like Marcus Johnson, Sidney Moncrief, Bob Lanier, last 4 years in the league, Brian Winters. I'm just Junior Bridgman. That was kind of the next phase of where the Bucks came from, of like kind of. They were obviously, you mentioned like the Celtics and Lakers, the 76ers. Those teams won more games than the Bucks in the 80s. Those are the only teams that won more Bucks or won more games than the Bucks did in the 80s. So it was kind of like this little, like this team was always in it, but they just never could get over the hump. Whereas like when they started, I mean, when you get Kareem and eventually you get Oscar Robertson, it kind of made for this like rocket ship that kept going higher and higher and higher than they win a championship in 1971.
Oh, wow. Well, just looking at this, Ray Allen, I forgot that he played for them before he went to the Celtics. Wow. Ray Allen, Vin Baker, golly, I remember him. With some of these players, what made Milwaukee, and maybe you can help me on that while I'm going down memory lane here, what made the Bucks stay in Milwaukee? It seems like that would be a hard market to keep a basketball team. Just how.
That's the biggest kind of thing I'm kind of searching out, honestly, is like we think of the Celtics, we think of the Lakers, but obviously the Lakers moved at one point. The
Yeah.
76ers, that was an expansion team, or they weren't always in Philadelphia. It was originally the Warriors, and then they moved to San Francisco. Like the NBA has always kind of had these teams move. It's never really been outside of like your Knicks, even the Bulls, they were an expansion team. It wasn't guaranteed in Chicago. So like why Milwaukee has been able to stick it out for, I believe this will be their 58th season. It's kind
Golly,
of cr
really?
it, yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean, you think of other teams too, like the Sonics are obviously the biggest example of like they won a championship in 1979, I believe it was. And Seattle's a big sports city, had a lot of basketball tradition, and a lot of things happened to the point where, they have to move to Oklahoma City and a lot of bad business deals. So the fact that Milwaukee's been able to endure, the Bucks have been able to endure in the same city that they were founded in is kind of astounding.
Well, the Supersonics, Sean Kemp was the guy that I remember. I think Gary Payton played for them too. I might be off on that. But I remember watching them growing up with, they were on par in a lot of ways with the Bulls, but the Bulls are in a much bigger market, centralized market. Of course, the Bulls are winning. But man, I forgot about the Supersonics. You are bringing a whole lot of stuff in back up and hurting my head here a little bit. But with your, no, it's okay. With your market though, Wisconsin is not a big state. It's not. It's just it has its moments. It's hot, I'm sure, but it's cold more than it's hot. And
That's for sure.
you have a, well, Milwaukee Brewers, what does that imply? You have a heavy beer situation up there, which I still think is one of the neatest things. Don't you have for the Brewers when they hit a home run or something, you have the train going through?
Their mascot Bernie Brewer, he goes down like a slide.
That's
He
right.
it used to be at County Stadium. The slide would lead into this big like stein with that looked like a beer. So it looks like he's just going into like this foam. Unfortunately, they don't have that at the new stadium, but to your point though, it's like Wisconsin's not a big state. Milwaukee is a very kind of mid-tier city. Green Bay, again, it's a college town, like a college town sized. Yet there's this weird kind of sports segment that we've kind of found ourselves in, that sports is very important here. It's not, we're kind of in that weird zone of like outside of Minneapolis, the further west you go, it's like the Dakotas, it's not Midwest, but it's a lot of this part of the country that doesn't have professional sports teams. Yet around here we do, and we hang on to them like crazy.
Okay.
And
Do
by
you
and large, or
go
sorry,
ahead.
you go.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, by and large, like Packers have had their ups and downs. The Bucks are kind of in somewhat of an up period. The Brewers are definitely in an up period, but they've been largely successful, give or take, for a long time. So I think that also kind of feeds into this sports kind of tradition that I think a lot of people in Milwaukee and Wisconsin, certainly in Green Bay, like when a city the size of Green Bay kind of embodies the sporting excellence of the state, it kind of feeds into everything else that we see around here.
Do you and I think it was Minute Maid Park that has the train.
Oh, yes. Yep.
I was off on that. Do you think, Jordan, that the reason why you have the Brewers and the Bucks is because of the Packers?
I would certainly think so. I shouldn't say certainly think so. I think it's definitely true. I mean, Milwaukee has definitely been a baseball town for a very long time. Even before the Brewers, I mean, the Braves, kind of with my book, like it all starts with the Milwaukee Braves, and it was a very big thing that they came to the city when they did in 1953. Major League Baseball, I believe before that they didn't have a team move for 51 years. So everything was very centralized to the East Coast, Upper East Coast, really, too. And when the Braves came to Milwaukee, it just kind of opened the floodgates because that's where the Dodgers go to Los Angeles from Brooklyn, the Giants go from New York to San Francisco. And the Braves are such a like, it won over the city so quickly. They win a World Series in 1957. It also coincides when the Milwaukee Hawks were playing in the NBA, a very small piece of the sporting pie at that time. And they were just so overshadowed by the Braves. So it kind of feeds into this, like, Milwaukee was very much viewed as like a one team city. And at one point it was only the Packers that kind of carried that, even though that they play three home games here. They're called the Green Bay Packers, not the Milwaukee Packers. So I think a lot of that kind of it's just a very strange way to look at it, of like the biggest city in the state can't hold down a professional sports team, but a team like, or a city like Green Bay has the Packers, has this team that eventually is like the dynasty of the 60s. And they're kind of like the rulers of the state in a lot of ways. Like it goes beyond just like the football field. It's the Packers. Like, you can be a Bucks fan, but chances are, like, it kind of, you never know who. A lot of people will wear a Lakers hat. You might run into other fans of other teams. Brewers, it's a little bit more kind of, you'll find more Brewers fans than that too, but it's not absolute. With Packer fans, anybody that's in the state, unless if you're a Bears fans for whatever reason around here, that's the state team for a lot of ways. So that's where, like what I was saying before, it makes for this really interesting kind of, dichotomy of like how it works around here, I guess.
All right. Did you grow up in Wisconsin? Were you born in Wisconsin?
Yes, I was. Yes.
Were your parents sports fans? I don't know if they're alive or not. Are they or were they?
Yes, they. My dad's a big Packers fan.
Were
Yeah.
you? Did you have a Packers onesie?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I grew up when they were starting to get really good again. They won the Super Bowl with Brett Favre and like Reggie White, like
Yeah.
that. When they were starting to kind of get back to their, mountaintop, I guess.
See, this is the thing. I'm a Titans fan. If you could see, well, you probably can't because I got my Indiana Jones stuff up now. But I grew up a Broncos fan. We didn't have a team here. And the pro team of sorts, which is more pro now than ever was, is University of Tennessee, the Volunteers. I'm in Middle Tennessee. We're 4 or 5 hours away from Knoxville, yet Orange is everywhere, all the way to Mississippi River, where the University of Memphis plays in that area. People are born with onesies, UT onesies or uniform jerseys, whatever it may be. So I'm wondering how similar is that to a Packers fan? Were you born in Milwaukee? Were you born?
Like 20 minutes north of Milwaukee, so with very within like the city. That's about two hours away from Green Bay.
But if you go into Milwaukee, are you in Milwaukee now?
Yes, yep.
So if you go out there, say September, which is coming up, how green will that place be?
Very green. Very green. It is a way of life. I mean, part of it too is like, it's part because of like what the mystique of Green Bay, the mystique of the Packers. It's also like they are the anomaly to the rest of the NFL and how sports works in this country, of like it's community owned team. It's all like the stock sale, everything associated with this team is never going to leave. Fans of the team or Green Bay residents, they have stock in the team to ensure that It's always going to remain the Green Bay Packers. Like that just kind of transcends sports. It speaks into kind of like civic pride and all that kind of stuff that we think sports is like, but not always the case. You know what I mean? But for around here, I think that's where, like, whenever the Bucks have been, talk of a new arena or a new stadium for the Brewers has ever arose, that's where things get twisted because it's like, well, we don't have to do this with the Packers, but we have to do it with the Brewers. We have to do it with the Bucks. Like, there's always, it's frankly, every like 20 to 30 years, we kind of face this conversation of like, do they need a new stadium? Is the public going to be a part of like how this team gets ensures itself in the city? And it kind of makes for, the business end of sports seeping into, just cheering for your favorite sports team that, maybe 20 minutes away or you live next to or, whatever the case may be. So that's where, I don't know, it's the Packers are just that team that it over its shadow extends so far beyond Green Bay, in Wisconsin that like even like the Badgers is like in Madison, obviously the University of Wisconsin, like it's Badgers are a big deal, but they don't it doesn't translate the same, I would say. I think because the Packers have been around for a very long time and one of the flagship franchises in the state, the Bucks and Brewers are kind of they know that they're never going to get first. You know what I mean? It'll be kind of a race for second in some years.
Well, is it kind of like I was watching a video about people in Cleveland when the Cavaliers won the first championship in Cleveland history. And I remember watching the 86, 87 Browns and probably the best teams that they've had in a long time not win it. And I remember watching, oh, who else was it? The Indians at the time making it to the World Series against the Marlins. And the Marlins win in 97, I think. And how the city when, well, it was LeBron James. When he came back, they won the title, and how they came together. Is that similar in, I know that Wisconsin, that Green Bay and Milwaukee are 2 hours apart, like you said, but is that how the state reacts to something like that? If the Badgers win a title or win a championship, would they react the same way as Cleveland did?
Oh yeah, I mean, luckily I can proudly say we did when the Bucks won in 21. That was such a big moment in a lot of ways. I think part of it was just where we're coming out of. You know what I mean? Like part of it's just the nature of the world coming out of a global pandemic. There's a lot of things of just how weird that season was. The fact that it was 50 years since the Bucks won a title and they had chances to get back to the finals, but they hadn't even gone to the finals since 1974 before that. And it's part of it in my book too. When they won in 1971, they didn't even have a parade for in the city. It was just the team coming back from Baltimore after they swept the Bullets, and all these fans. It was like 10,000 or 15,000 fans show up to the airport. It's a big thing. There's no city parade. Like how we expect like whoever wins the Super Bowl a couple days later, they have a parade in the city. Same with the World Series, same with the NBA Finals. Did not happen in Milwaukee in 1971. So when the Bucks won in 21, and obviously Giannis is, as much as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the reason why the Bucks are still around, Giannis is a bigger reason why he's the best player in the franchise history. It was so cathartic for a lot of ways because it was just like that parade feeling that, before that the Braves won in 57, and that's a very long time. So the Brewers are very close to getting that in the 1982 World Series. There's actually a really good documentary about them too that came out last year. It's called Just a Bit Outside about the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers team that played against the Cardinals. So you get a lot of Robin Yount, Raleigh Fingers, Paul Molitor, and stuff like that. So,
Just a bit outside.
yeah.
Way off the subject, but not really. Was Bob Uecker royalty in your state?
Oh yes, we're actually, it's kind of perfect timing that we're talking about it. They just had a big series against the Giants, and the Sunday, afternoon game, they had a celebration of life for Bob Uecker. And it's when he passed, I mean, it's, he was 90 years old. There was a lot of health problems that kind of contributed in the last 10 years or so, but he was still on the radio. Like the last game that this heartbreaking loss against the Mets in the playoffs last year, he was doing the game. So it, for us and kind of, as a native, adjacent to Milwaukee, I should say, but as Wisconsin, like summers, we're always with having Bob Uecker on the radio. It really wasn't about having the radio on. It was about hearing Bob Uecker. He was as big of a reason why you'd listen to the radio than anything. So he was just a tie for a lot of reasons. The Brewers for a long time when I was growing up were not good. But he gave you a reason to listen to bad Brewer games in a lot of ways, just because it's just what it is. Summertime in Milwaukee and Wisconsin, it's part of kind of the, a rite of passage to listen to Bob Uecker call a Brewers game. So yeah, when he passed, I mean, it's a shock as much as anything, but it is so, it was very gratifying to have him still be so present in our lives for a very long time. And he really, like, everything about him, how he was on the air, and he's in the documentary that I just mentioned too. It's just a very kind of like salt of the earth, like what you see is what you got. Like he's just very, just a unique character that kind of embodies a lot of what you see around Milwaukee and just how people are around here, which is, I think that's what made him so engrossing to us
So
in a lot of
people
ways.
loved him to death. That was not just they
Oh
loved
yeah.
him.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Well, see, that's neat. You know, I don't know how much you know about SEC football. You should know a lot about us down here, okay?
Oh
Just letting you know.
yeah.
No, but you, there are several people, and I won't go into any names, but there are several, like there's Munson from Georgia. Gravelly voice, and that's who he was. And people listened to him when I lived in Georgia. They wouldn't watch the game; they would watch the game and listen to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you'd have UT, the Knoxville, and when I lived down in Alabama, they had broadcasters down in Alabama, and it's just like that was the voice of that generation. And when those people retired, or like Mike Keith, who's voiced the Titans since they moved here, is now going to be the voice of the Volunteers. And while the new guy probably is going to do a great job, you don't want to be the guy to replace the guy.
Yep.
You just don't.
Yep.
And it's not fair for them, but it's reality. It's amazing to see. Okay, who's the voice of the Packers?
Oh, well, it's tougher with NFL just because like national TV is so prominent, but the current radio broadcaster would be Wayne Larrabee. He's been in it for like 25 years, I think so. So I mean, again,
That's a long time.
a long time, and for some Packer fans, like that's all they know when they're listening to the radio.
That's the thing. When you listen to one voice for as long as you did, like I'm driving sometimes on Sundays, and if I had Sirius Radio, I would turn over, you know, they have the dual games, and I'd find the Titans one to hear Mike Keith. In
Yeah.
fact, one of the neat things that I have here is a football. Of course, it's you can't see because of, but right here. Mike Keith signed it, and it says "Touchdown Titans." That was his trademark when the Titans scored a touchdown, which is very rare when they actually would do that. It's sad. You laughing, but it's sad.
Yeah.
He would yell that out. So you can't do that now. If you
Yeah.
are the newest guys, you cannot say "Touchdown Titans" like that.
Yeah. Yeah,
You just
it's
can't.
part of the essence of what it is,
So
yeah.
no, it's neat, Jordan. I want to do a couple things here real quick before we call it a night. Thank you for coming on, number one. This was fun. And that's good to know that somebody out there loves the ugly 80s jerseys for and the hats for the Brewers. They are fantastic. I don't care who you are, they are fantastic. If you're listening to this and don't know what we're talking about, first read his book. But second off, just go online and look up Robin Yount, Paul Molitor, which again is one of my favorite all-time players, just a great hitter. And just look at their hats and make sure you get the 80s, the trucker hats. Nothing else, just the trucker hats, and you'll see what I'm talking about. You don't like those, you're not living. You just don't have a heartbeat. Where can we find your book?
You could find it on Amazon. You could buy it directly through the publisher, McFarland, McFarland.com. Trying to think, bookshop.org. I saw it on like Target, which is kind of a trippy to me. Barnes and Noble, I believe, carries it. So any bookseller online will have it, which is very cool.
And where can we find you on your podcast?
You can find me on Talk of the Tundra. That's our Green Bay Packers podcast. You can find that on Spotify. You can find that on Apple Podcasts. We have a new YouTube channel, so you can just type in Talk of the Tundra. You can find that there. You can find my Bucks podcast, Win Six. Same thing, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You could go to our GSPN Substack page. We'll write about things that kind of fall in the cracks between podcasts and all that stuff. So gspnsubstack.com. I think that's it. You can follow me on any social media at this point. Jordan Treske, Treske.
Are
I
you on
think
X?
I am. I am. I am.
Jordan, I'll have to find you. Send me a link if you could on email me a link so I can follow you.
Yeah, can do.
And when we get into a little more football season-esque few weeks in, come back on. We'll talk some Packer
Yeah.
football.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I would love
Let
to.
me ask you a question. Do you trust Jordan Love?
I think this is gonna be a big season. This will determine a lot. I mean, there's a good reason why to trust him and why to pay him last summer, but I think just getting hurt that early in the season and just kind of throws off your rhythm. Plus, it was a team that they had the most drops in the league last year, 28 drops. I remember that number very vividly.
I got you. Titans do the same thing. I get you.
Yeah. But yeah, getting Matthew Golden, there's a lot of excitement around Matthew Golden coming into the team. But yeah, I think this year will go a long way in determining like what is the true ceiling with Jordan Love. Was it a mirage what we saw at the end of his kind of first year of starting, where they upset the Cowboys and frankly gave the 49ers kind of a run for their money in that
I
divisional
remember
game
that.
a couple years ago?
I
So
remember that. They put a whooping on the Cowboys when I don't think I started watching that game until a little bit into it. I'm like, what is happening?
yeah.
Now, I knew the Packers are good, but what is happening?
Yeah, you don't expect a 7 seed to come in there and run the show over a 2 seed. And
I don't even.
the Cowboys that year were really good. Like Dak Prescott, I know he's kind of a maligned quarterback, but he was like an MVP candidate, and all that talk it went by the wayside pretty quickly.
They laid the wood on him. Jordan, thank you for coming on, my friend.
Thank you very much for having me.
And thank y'all for listening to Football is Family.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, aka the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you gotta do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sports HistoryNetwork.com.
You could be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day.
Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.